Father, I truly do thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you for your songs of praise and worship. I thank you, Father God, for our flagger who truly does bring the anointing as she dances before us, before the throne, I should say. And Father God, I just thank you that all who come out to sit in your presence will receive whatever they have need of this morning. Let the Holy Spirit be evident to hear this morning, Father. Let your angelic hosts be working throughout these chairs. And Father, we just give you all honor and all glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. The anointing is really super strong. And Sister Grace, just feel the anointing flow off of you as you dance before the Lord. And let all that anointing flow over the congregation. There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot going on within each one of our temples because God is still changing and rearranging. And all of you who have afflictions, I want you to know I keep reading, and God's already told me this too, that the Catherine Kuhlman anointing is going to come on the scene greater than it was when she was here in person. And there's going to be miracle after miracle healings in our bodies. So if you're still believing for, if you're believing for a healing, keep believing for a healing, because we don't know what day, what second, what hour that God's going to drop that healing anointing and heal us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. And as we're being tested for endurance through these sicknesses, stand. Stand on the promises of God and don't allow the enemy to take you off course. There's a lot of people right now in the body of Christ who are starting to grow weary. They're believing that God, they're finally believing that God is not going to move. The enemy's finally gotten them to that place. I've been getting a lot of phone calls, praying with people who believe that God's finished with them. God isn't going to do anything in their lives. And that is a lie from the pits of hell. God is not finished with any of his children. In fact, he won't be finished with us until he takes us home. God constantly works on us to bring us deeper into his presence and make us more like him. We go from glory to glory. So don't ever think you've attained because you have not attained. And the devil's going to torment you with everything he can throw at you. He's going to make you see things that aren't even there. The devil is. And so you have to know who you are in Christ. We've already been taught that. And then you have to stand. You have to stand who you are in Christ. And I'm hearing God say that the bitter truth of this whole thing is the fight is within the families. You know, family members are fighting with you and tearing you down and putting you asunder. This is what I'm just hearing God say, so I'm going to speak it forth. And so you have to keep your eyes on God at all times. Don't allow your family members to tear you down. Know who you are in Christ. Know what God has spoken over your life. And then just move on and do what God's telling you to do. Whoever told you that we weren't going to have a warfare, whoever told you that was a liar. The Word of God, all through the Word of God, you know, says we're going to have warfare. And so if you don't want to have warfare, then you might as well move on, because this is what it's all about. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and they just weren't going to trust God anymore, and they were just going to go ahead and do whatever. And so what if you're not going to trust God, you're trusting who? Yeah, the enemy. And so he's going to take you straight to hell. And we know the enemy's real, even though we don't see Jesus. And we say, well, I don't see him, I don't hear him. Well, if you don't hear him, that's your fault. But you know what? You can sure see the devil. He's all around us, isn't he? He's everywhere. In our homes, in our schools, in the churches. He's everywhere. He's evident. So you have to, if you want to believe in something, believe in the fact there is a hell. And you don't want to go there. And there is a heaven. And what you're doing is you're looking for, working on your salvation every day so you make heaven your home. And I know that God's been showing me some ministers are losing their salvations because they are not walking in the love walk. And today, coming down here, I always pray for the service as I drive here. I just saw big hearts everywhere, great big hearts everywhere. And God said, I want my love to be spread abroad throughout the nations. And the hearts, I thought, now we just got new banners. I said, we can't change your banner yet. But these hearts were everywhere. I knew, so the vision was so clear. And so God wants us to love one another. He wants us to love the unlovable. And he wants us to walk in love. There's so much hate in the world. Gabriel was reading to me where the young black man was killed at a Wendy's, I think, and for a stupid reason. You know, there's so much hate. Who's going to be spreading the love? We are. The devil's people are not. We are going to be spreading the love of Jesus Christ. So where there's hate, we have to provide love. And when you hear things like he was reading to me this morning, then we need to pray for those people that really they don't have the love of Christ in them to do what they did. And it's just adding fuel to the fire. This morning we're going to talk about the forerunners, the second John and the second John the Baptist. There is more than one forerunner church across this nation. God has them scattered everywhere. But I feel that the forerunner churches have forgotten that they are forerunners and have laid down their weapons of warfare. When you're a forerunner, you go where nobody else is ever going. And, you know, I always think about the natives in the jungle, you know, when you get the people to lead you, they go forward and they cut down all that garbage so that people behind, the hunters behind them can walk through without getting hurt. And this is what you and I have to do. We have to forge into that jungle that nobody's ever forged before, and we have to cut down the enemy so then that the others that don't know Christ can follow and know the love of Christ. But see, as a forerunner, you're going to fight. You're going to have to battle because you are making a way in the wilderness where nobody's ever gone before. So then why are you complaining? You know, don't you think that? Why are you complaining? I hear so many people complaining. Well, I had to fight the devil and I had to do this. You're going to have to do that if you're a forerunner. Now, that if you don't want to be a forerunner, that's fine. That is fine. You just come to church, you just sit in church, and you just get fat on the word. And then one day you go to heaven, and God will say, where's all them souls I wanted you to minister to? All right? But it is a jungle out there. It is a battle. Now, Matthew 24:15 says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, in 1977, when I first became born again, God told me that Matthew 24:15 was taking place, and it's the abomination of desolation. There was so much sin in the pulpits, and there's still so much sin in the pulpits. Men are not treating their wives right. Wives are not treating their husbands right. But yet they sit in a pulpit or they go somewhere and preach the gospel and act like they're all that then some, and they're nothing. And one day when you stand before the Father, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I do not know you. Come on. I do not know you. And God also said the church had already become carnal back in 1977. And the great falling away had already begun back in 1977. Now, what God had me do, he had me go and evangelize to the churches and preach repentance. When I was first born again, that's what he had me do. And the pastors listened, but, you know, that people do this. They listen, get all excited when you're teaching them or talking to them. Then they go home, they sleep on it. Then the next day they get upset and say, how dare they? And, you know, then the pastors turned on me because they didn't want to repent. They did not want to quit their sins. And so they had to try to disgrace and disqualify me so they would look all right. Now, are you one of those? Are you one of those that God's called into the preach the gospel, but you're not living right, so you won't preach the truth of the word. And then you start compromising the word, and you let the people under you go ahead and sin. Because if you tell them they have to quit sinning, then you have to quit sinning also, right? Come on, think about this. Malachi 3:1 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming," says the Lord of hosts. Jesus is coming a second time. He is coming after a church without spot and without wrinkle. God has been trying to clean the church up for quite some time. We know that the church would not be cleaned up the way God wanted it to. And we know that now God is going into the highways and the byways. And this is what the great harvest is all about. The church would not do their job, so now God is going out into the highways and byways, getting the unsaved, cleaning them up and bringing them in, and he's going to use them to preach the gospel. That's the way it's working. So if you don't want to get cleaned up, if you don't want to walk in love and do the things that God's calling you to do, that's fine. God will take your mantle and he'll give it to somebody who will honor it and do what he needs to do. Now Luke chapter 1 verse 13 says, "But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah." This is the angel's talking to Zechariah about John the Baptist, all right? "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." See that? John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb to be John the Baptist, to be a forerunner. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." Now it says, "And he will go before him," as before Jesus, "in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." You are forerunners like John the Baptist. It says here that John the Baptist would go before Jesus, preach repentance, get the people saved, and when Jesus came, he would have a people prepared to hear his message and receive that message. Now, if you're not walking holy and pure and righteous and in righteousness, you will not be able to be a forerunner to carry that kind of a message to get a people prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You just won't be able to do that. Now, John the Baptist was a forerunner, and he was also a prophet. And in this church, God raises up prophets. You're a forerunner first, and then you also carry the gift of a prophet. You have to keep yourself pure and holy to be a prophet. Or what you'll find yourself doing is you're going to give mixed messages to the people, and you're going to mess the people up. And when you stand before God, you're going to be held accountable for the blood of those souls. It's going to be on your hands. It's in the Word. Read the Word. All right, Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 14. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his," still talking about John the Baptist, "rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink." Now, I did this, so you need to see. God told the father exactly how to raise this child. He said, "Many will rejoice at his birth," and that's what happened. "For he will be great before the Lord," he was an appointed, special appointed child of God, "and he must not drink wine or strong drink." So his father had made sure he never did that. "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." So the father knew he was already filled with the Spirit, even from his mother's womb. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." Now, "and he will go before him in Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah. God wants to bring forth more Elijahs right now in this dispensation of time. The reason why God's having a problem here is because people do not want to live in an obedient life to God. They want to live a half-truth. You cannot live a half-truth. You either serve God or you don't serve God. You either believe there is a Jesus or you don't believe there is a Jesus. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Now, I'm just going to put this in here. My mother had 6 children. I was the second one. And she said that the whole time she carried me, that there was just something different about her carrying me. And when I was born, there was something different about me when I come out of the womb. And all my life, I was a person who was loved everybody. I didn't want to see anybody hurt. I know that I was filled with the Spirit right out of my mother's womb. And I know that God had already chosen me to be a forerunner, a second John the Baptist, before he planted that seed in the womb. I know that. And I was telling Brother Christopher the other day, I says, and I've explained some other things. I said, I've been at this for quite a while. I'm just now today, you know, whatever day that was, talking to him, understanding the fullness and the importance of my birth and what God has called me forth to do. So what I'm saying that for is I need you to really, really sit down before the Father. Think about all the things that has happened to you all your life, how you reacted, what you had to go through, and understand the fullness and the importance of your birth. Every one of us were birthed for a purpose. What is your purpose? I was 50 years old when I was born again, and I said, God, I wasted all those years. I always went to church. I was a good girl. I just didn't sin. Why? Because I feel like since I was a forerunner before birth, like John the Baptist, because God gave me that scripture, said, this is you. You are a second John the Baptist. That's why I can preach that, because that's what God told me. You are an evangelist, and you will go forth, and you will be preaching repentance. Now, you need to sit down and talk to the Father, and you need to ask him exactly what is my role in this life. And you need to look, like I said, look back at what has happened to you all your life, and then understand the importance of your birth. You young people in here, you younger people, you were brought into the house of God. What God told me about, and I said, I wasted all my years. He said, no, you haven't. I was with you all the days of your life, and I was building you for this time. This is your season. So you young people, you've come in that you haven't really gone into a spirit-filled church anywhere before, and you've just sort of been living your life willy-nilly, you know, just living life. Then all of a sudden, God takes you into a spirit-filled church, does something different to you, starts rearranging you. This is your time. And this is when God wants to use you for the purpose you were born for. So you cannot allow, and my life was not easy. I did not have an easy life from the time my parents divorced. But God was always with me. He never allowed me to go into any dark areas. He always kept me pure. God, and it doesn't matter what you've gone through. All right, let me say this. So you young people were you've been brought up in the age of drugs and alcohol and perversion. Now, when you get born again, God starts taking all that junk out of you. You don't really want to throw all that experience into the garbage can. Because what is out there in the world right now today? Drugs, alcohol, and perversion. You've already lived that life, and you know what God has done for you. Now, whenever God sends those people to you, you can tell them, I was where you were at one time. And then you can start ministering to them, you know, and start bringing them up out of that valley of despair that they're in. And you can teach them of the love of Jesus Christ. You'll be bringing in the great harvest. I talked to somebody the other day, and they say, I'm not worthy of God because I did this, this, and this. I said, don't ever say that again. God knew you were going to go down that road. He wants to use your testimony to help other people. Don't let people put you down. And God wants to use that experience to help others not go there. Or if they're already there, pull them out of that road and put them on the right road. Are you understanding this? You know, you're really not sitting in church this morning just because you decided to go to church. God is trying to pull you out of that miry clay that you've been in and out of that mindset that God can't use me, because he does want to use you to minister the gospel. You're going to find a lot of churches are going to close or have already closed, and they're not going to reopen. Now, God is going to use you young people, you know, just like you two young people there. He's going to give you an anointing to be preachers of the gospel. You guys be preachers of the gospel. He's going to use you to open up churches that are spirit-filled, full of love, the love of God, and feel the truth of God, and many souls are going to be saved. Are you understanding this? Come on. See, the problem with the body of Christ is, my job is not to keep you sitting in these seats. My job is that God sent you here. My job is to teach you to repent and to live right and to teach you about the ways of the Father so he can send you out to minister to people on the outside. All right? Please get this down into your spirit this morning. You need this because I'm hearing God said this is the hour that he's getting ready to yank you up out of that seat and anoint you fully from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet and send you out there into that dark abyss to pull those souls up out of the very throes of hell. All right? All right, then. So John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only was he filled with the Holy Spirit, but Luke 1:41 says, but his mother was also filled with the Holy Spirit. See that? His mother was also filled with the Holy Spirit. And Luke 1:41 and 42, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, went to visit Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, all right? And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. We had all kind of Holy Spirit jumping going on around there, inside and out, right? Now listen to this. A forerunner is called to sink the plow of God's truth into the hard ground of men's hearts and plow up this ground, hard ground caused by tradition, wounds, and experiences from the past, religion, and faithlessness. You are called to plow up those hard hearts for Jesus. That's what you're called to do. The only way you can do that is by, first of all, be rooted and grounded in love. Then have grace and compassion flowing with that love. And that is what's going to draw people unto you. But they're really not drawn unto you. They are being drawn to the Spirit of God that's in you. All right? And see, this is where you have all the perversion in the house of God, because people come in and you're spirit filled, and if you're a man and a woman runs up and hugs you because she doesn't understand she's hugging the Christ in you, the man gets all puffed up and with pride and everything else, and affairs start. And the same thing with women. But really and truly, if you understand that they're not being drawn to you, but the Christ in you, that won't happen. Affairs in the house of God won't happen, because you will then lead them to Christ. All right, where are we at? Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, this is God speaking, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now, we need to understand that there will be prophets who God speaks to and gives dreams and visions, and then there will be the Moses, who God will speak to face to face, not in a dream, not in a vision, not in a riddle, but face to face very plainly. Now, you need to seek God's face and see, are you just a prophet? Are you a Moses prophet? God told me early on, he says, as I was with Moses' daughter, I will also be with you. God speaks to me face to face, not in riddles, but face to face. I don't get many dreams and visions because God speaks to me audibly. Are you listening here? Now, do you just want to be a prophet? Or do you want to be a Moses prophet? I'm trying to get you people's hearts stirred up, your mind stirred up. You need to want more than what you have. All right? Now, Luke 1:76 says, and you, child, you know, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Then Matthew 17:9 said, and as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, you know, the disciples, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. That was, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, all right? And the disciples asked Jesus, then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? Jesus answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was another Elijah. John the Baptist was a forerunner. God told me we were a forerunner church when I first opened it. He said, we are the second John the Baptist, and he told me that I could read this verse 12 and that I was also an Elijah. Now, do you want to be an Elijah? Do you want to be a total, complete miracle worker and restore all things? Then you're going to have to live a holy, righteous life. I'm hearing God say, a life without spot nor wrinkle. And I'm also hearing him say, he will not compromise with you. You're either holy or you're not holy. If you're going to be a forerunner, a second John the Baptist, Elijah, and he speaks to you as he did with Moses, then you're going to have to live a holy life. Matthew 3:1 says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And, you know, the pastors around here really don't have anything to do with me, but they did tell me one thing. If you would quit teaching repentance, you would have the biggest church around because people really like you. So what did John the Baptist preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. John the Baptist was a prophet and also Elijah. His mission on earth was to cause the people to repent and prepare the way of the Lord. Your mission as a forerunner, Second John the Baptist, is to preach repentance. And you don't have to do it with ignorance and arrogance. You do it with the love of Christ. And whenever you do that, then you are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I went to a Methodist church one time back home where I was born and raised. And, you know, it was a Methodist church and old fogey women, you know. And they were all sitting there and they had a new pastor. And the pastor wasn't in the pulpit. And they were all saying, I wonder where the pastor's at. And all of a sudden, you heard, repent! I mean, for Jesus is coming the second time. And we turned around, and here he was. He had a camel's hair thing on, you know. And he had a staff, and he was coming down and thing, repent, I say repent. And then he really taught about repentance. They fired him. That was his first and last sermon there. I thought it was powerful, though. But them old ladies didn't like it at all. And he had that camel thing, you know, wrapped around him, you know, his bare legs sticking out and his half his chest. How dare he come in the house of God half-dressed like this? Come on. Well, at least he wasn't eating honey and locusts as he walked down there. That's how stiff-necked, you see, and I was stiff-necked like that when I first was born again. When I started church, you didn't dare laugh in that church. You come in and you sit down, was quiet and respectful. And then God said, Jesus told me one time, I laugh. Don't you tell my people they can't laugh. So the next service I said, God said, you can laugh all you want to laugh, just laugh. I want to hear you laugh and I want to hear you talk. And so then I was no longer stiff-necked. So how many of you have been stiff-necked? You know? Just think about all this stuff. You can have fun serving God. You really can. You can't have fun serving the devil, though. Where am I? I lost my place now. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I want to stop there. Did you realize that Jesus never baptized anybody? He never did. And John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance. Because, see, John the Baptist's job was to baptize and to do repentance. And then what does it say about Jesus? He said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So that was Jesus' job, was to bring the Holy Spirit and the fire. It wasn't to baptize you into repentance. Now, we as forerunners are also anointed as prophets, and we are to cause the people to repent by pointing them to Jesus. And sometimes the only way you can do that is to keep your mouth shut and just live the life of Jesus before them. Some people, you know, they're so prideful, they think they have to be talking all the time. And sometimes you just need to shut up. Because your speaking destroys a person instead of bringing them forth. All right, and so he says, we as forerunners are also anointed as prophets, and we are to cause the people to repent by pointing them to Jesus. And God has spoken and said that he is bringing forth Elijahs in this season. And this is what I want you to really think about today. Will you become an Elijah for God? God has also spoken and said that these are the days of Elijah. We could say that Jesus was a type of Moses. Moses was brought forth to lead God's chosen people out of bondage and into the promised land. God spoke to Moses face to face. Now, read that again. Moses was brought forth to lead God's chosen people out of bondage and into the promised land. And God spoke to Moses face to face. Jesus was born to die at Calvary and make a way for all peoples to make heaven, the promised land, their home. If we would just stay in our own little shell where God wants us, but we want to move over into somebody else's anointing, you're supposed to stay in your own anointing and do the thing that God has called you forth to do. Right now, God's called you forth as a forerunner, as Second John the Baptist, as prophets, and he's now calling you forth to be Elijah's. All right. Now, Luke chapter 3, verse 2. During the high priesthood of Ananias and Cephas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. It was written before he was ever born what he was going to do. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. It prophesied what John the Baptist was going to do. Now, they say that in the Bible, every one of our names is in the Bible, and it tells exactly what we are to do. Perry Stone found his name in there, and he's living his life that's in the Bible. I think his wife was pregnant with their daughter, and it had her name in there and everything, but they had already named her. But here was it had in there how many children he was going to have and exactly what their names were. And he didn't know that at the time. He found that out, that his name was in there later on. And then it also told what he was going to be doing. And he was doing exactly what the Bible said. And what is it called? Bible code or whatever it is. Bible code. So if you can get a hold of that and know how to use it, you can find your name in there and it'll tell you your life. I remember years ago that was going around and people were finding their names in there and finding out exactly what they were doing in life. See, there's a whole lot in the Word. All you have to do is read it, study it, and quit doing your dumb stuff. All right? Where am I at? Luke chapter 3 dates John the Baptist's ministry. Bible scholars say he was 27 when he started his ministry, and he was beheaded at the age of 30. He had 3 years. All right, well, let me read this other, and I'll tell you what I did. All right, then Luke 1:80, and the child grew and became strong in his spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So John the Baptist grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. But from the very beginning of his life, he spent his time in the desert alone, except for his disciples. John the Baptist had his own group of disciples, in case you didn't know that. Now, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 said, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he was led by the Holy Spirit, not the devil, but by the Holy Spirit, and he didn't go on his own, into the wilderness and tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. So Jesus was 30 when he started his ministry, and he was crucified at the age of 33. John the Baptist only ministered 3 years. Jesus only ministered 3 years. Now, you know, when I was doing the ministry, and, you know, it was hard, and people were coming against me, and I was complaining to God one day, and I said, your son only went through that for 3 years. and God really got on me about that. He said, that was his ministry. Yours, you're going to go more than 3 years of being crucified. And so, you know, so you're suffering, and it's more than 3 years. Keep on suffering until your time is up. And a lot of people in the house of God sit and complain, and they don't even understand what their lot in the Bible really is. All right, so then God spoke, I've said this before, but God spoke many years ago and said we were the second John the Baptist preparing the way for the second coming of the Lord. And then Luke 7:18 says, the disciples of John reported all these things to Jesus, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, the disciples of John reported all these things to John, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Now, John the Baptist was in jail. He was going to be beheaded, all right? But John the Baptist told everybody that Jesus was coming. he baptized Jesus and said, he said, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. But he's in prison. And so what does he do? Calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, you know, to him as Jesus. John the Baptist has sent us to you saying, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And Jesus answered them, go and tell John the Baptist what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, but when he got in trouble, he didn't know who Jesus was. The body of Christ is the same way. Oh, when everything's going fine, and we're out there preaching, repent, 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 you know, and everything's fine. But when you're sitting in prison, with you're going to get your head cut off for telling the truth, then all of a sudden, was it really real? You know, when sickness is plaguing your body, and you've been preaching, God heals, and you say, and you're not being healed. Is healing really for us today? That's the way the body of Christ goes. So let's not get too hard on John here, all right? Now, John the Baptist was beheaded because he told a king of his sin. People will come against you just as they did John the Baptist, but that does not make you any the less a forerunner, preparing the way for the second coming of the Lord. Now, see, this scripture I know so well because I was being come against, and so then God told me to read this scripture. And he said, what do they go out to see when they come to see you? A reed shaken in the wind? You're my prophet. Are you listening here? You know, and I'm not bragging. I'm just letting you know, you do not understand what you've really been called to do. You really don't understand the anointing that lies upon you. The enemy keeps the body of Christ has been going through this as long as I know. The devil keeps pressing you down and pressing you down and pressing you down, because he knows if he doesn't keep pressing you down and he lets you get loose, you're going to tear down his kingdom, and he does not want you to tear down his kingdom. He doesn't. I've had face-to-face encounters talking to Satan three different times. He's very handsome. He does have long blonde hair. He does have beautiful blue eyes. And he told me what he was going to do to me, and I told him what he wasn't going to do, but guess what? But before I had any of those conversations, God told me exactly what was going to happen before I had each one of them. All right, so now, and I've been to hell three times. I would like to go to heaven, but God hasn't chosen to do that. But I'm telling you, the devil's real. The devil will come to you and have a conversation with you, and he will try to twist you and turn you and make you believe that he has more power and authority than God does. But there's just something in me that just, I get upset when the devil does that to me, and I just tell him who he is and where he can go back to. I've laughed in his face. I've seen him turn from a snake into himself. I've seen where God has put a glass wall between me and him, and he's beaten on the wall. Satan is, you know, he's turned into this human form again, saying, I'm going to kill you. But in Job, God said, you can do everything but kill them. And he you know, the devil has permission to bring you down a rough road, but he can't kill you. And when he's doing all that kind of stuff, what you need to do is rear up in your most holy faith and stand in faith and knowing that you are God's child and that you were called, you're called into war and that you have to fight the good fight of faith. Come on. Church, you need to stop cowering before the enemy. You need to understand who you are in Christ. You need to know that the anointing abides deep within you and Jesus is trying to bring it forth and Satan's trying to suffocate it. And it's up to you whether Jesus brings it. Like God told me early on in my ministry, I said, God, what is going on here? He said, you're in a tug of war. I've told this before, I'm going to tell it again. He said, Satan has one arm, I have the other, and you're in a tug of war. It's up to you who wins this tug of war. And I always made sure that Jesus won every battle. Satan has not won any battle that I've been in. They've been rough, they've been hard, they've been long, they just about suffocated me, but I made sure that Jesus always won. Come on. You cannot preach boldness if you haven't lived boldness. You cannot preach the truth if you haven't been down in the valley of despair and had your father take your hand and bring you out over and over and over again. If you read the word and see what the true the disciples or whoever, the anointed people of God that were working for God, every one of them suffered all the days that they walked on the earth. But we don't want to suffer. My Lord, don't make me suffer, you say. All right. God also spoke and said we were living in the days of Joel chapter 2. We know the enemy has come once again to take God's chosen off course. If you don't know that, you better know that right now. The enemy has come to take you off course. Are you going to allow him to do that? Some of you already have. You need to get back on course again. Some of you ministers, you're not ministering in the love of God to your wife or your children, be it you want everybody to bow to you. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. Wives, you're supposed to love your husbands. And you know what really upsets me is every one of us have done things in our past that we wish we wouldn't have done. But yet, you know, somebody in your family is throwing up your face all the time once you get saved. Well, I know what you used to do, you know. I thank God, really, God did keep me, and the devil could never throw that up in my face. But, you know, I know that it doesn't happen to everybody, and I know that he does throw your past up in your face, and he's trying to destroy you. Don't let him do that. God said he takes your past and throws into the sea of forgetfulness, right? Well, then, you know, and I always look at Paul. You know, Paul was killing the Christians. And then God met him on the road and blinded him and got him saved. And then he was out there and he spent most of his time in prison because he was saving the Christians. But he didn't complain about it. Wow, don't put me in jail, God. You know, many, 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 many souls were saved because Paul sat in those prison cells and wrote the epistles. He wrote most of the New Testament in the prison cells. And Paul, we know, wasn't even one of the disciples. What does he say? He's I was born out of due season. All right? Come on, guys. You know, or why don't you be macho for God? You were macho for the devil. You let him use you in any way he wanted to. So now you're on a new path. Now you allow God to use you the way he wants to use you. God has been warning us to hold tight to his hand and we would not be taken under when the enemy comes at us. Matthew 11:11 says, truly, Jesus said, truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. From the days of John the Baptist until now, and that means right now today, The kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Are you violent against the devil, for Jesus? Are you telling him you're going to sock him in the nose if he doesn't straighten up? Get out of your life and get out of your family's life? Are you going to be a covering for your wife and make sure the enemy can't attack her in any way? I'll tell you what, since my husband died, the enemy has attacked me a lot because my husband kept me covered. He didn't ridicule me, put me down. He kept me covered. But once he died, then I started fighting again because my covering was gone. You men don't understand what God's going to do to you if you don't start covering your wives and covering them properly. Verse 13 says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept that he is Elijah who is to come, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you know, and God told me about this scripture where it said that whenever I was first born again and started preaching, God gave me this scripture right here, Matthew 11:11, where we're in a war. You know, because I was being really attacked. And before I became born again, even though I was a Christian and didn't do anything wrong, the devil never bothered me. Why? I was no threat to him. I didn't understand I could hear the voice of God. I didn't understand that I was anointed, you know, that the Holy Spirit was in me. I didn't understand all that. And the devil knew that I was dumb, walking around dumb. But then once I was born again, and I found out that about the anointing, and I found out that God speaks to me, then the devil was furious. He said, I got to get her. Because if I don't, he knows what I'm going to do. He knew I was going to tear his kingdom apart. And I stir the pot all the time with him and his kingdom. Do you stir his pot? Do you get him upset? Are you ministering to people, you know, the truth? Are you walking in love and compassion? Even when you must walk up and bop somebody in the nose, you walk up and put your arms around and say, I really do love you because that's the love of God in you. I know a lot of you sit like me. You sit home, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 when I see that person. And when you get in the presence of that person, you say, hi, how are you? I really do love you. And you put your arms around about them, just hug them. Why? Because the Christ in you says you love, you don't get upset. All right? Come on. All right, Matthew 11:12 tells us that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence from the days of John the Baptist. With all the darkness around us, if we will just trust God and submit to his counsel, we will find ourselves in a secure place in him. If we, with all the darkness around us, if we will just trust God and submit to his counsel, we will find ourselves in a secure place in him. When you go home today, read, or I don't care when you do it, read Isaiah 40 in its entirety. Now, are you a warrior or are you not? I want you to think, are you a warrior or are you not? Or are you a complainer? You can no longer be one way in church and another way at home. You can't do that. You can't be one way in church, another way in your job site. It just doesn't work. You know, you can't be one way in your car drinking your booze and smoking your pot and then coming in the house of God, hi, everybody, as all your junk reeks off of your body, you know. You can't do that. You're either holy or you're not holy. And I don't really care if I make you mad or not. You know, I'm a second John the Baptist preaching repentance. And when I stand before the Father, I don't want him to say, depart from me, you worker of evil. I don't know you. I don't want to hear those words. I work really hard at not hearing those words, even being alive. Now, how about you? I'm hearing God say, are you living a double life, double standard? Are you one way in one place, another way in some other place? You know, are you honest about all things, or you try to push some things under the carpet? So you might as well quit lying to yourself, because you'd be surprised what people know about you. You're standing there pretending you're one thing, and the person standing in front of you thinking, that's not true, because I know what God's been telling me. You know? Remember I said, you know, God would tell me, you know, so-and-so is going to come to you and they're going to say that I told them to leave the church and I told them this, 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 this. And he says, I didn't tell them nothing. This is just one example. And so sure enough, they came, said God spoke to me and told me I was supposed to leave the church. And this is the reason why, a word for word, what God said they were going to say. And I just smiled and I said, well, I hope you the very best in life. Because God told me to do this. He said, don't say nothing back. Just bless them and let them go on their way. Because he said, they've already dug themselves a hole that they're going to fall into. So be careful what you say to a prophet. Make sure it's the truth, because they already know the truth. And I'm hearing God say, because the truth always sets you free. Now, God is calling Elijah and Moses forth today. Do you want to be either or both? Whatever the desire of your heart is the same desire of God's heart. And he wants to anoint you this morning with the anointing to be either a Moses or an Elijah or both. Because you're already forerunners. You're already the second John the Baptist. Now, if you accept this extra assignment of Moses or Elijah, God expects your life to be holy and pure. He doesn't expect you to say, I want to be a Moses or an Elijah or both, then walk out the door and be the same as you were when you came in. He expects changes to occur in your life.